Mike Malevsky here, and it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio Steve Sinclair. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve is running in the 2016 August primary, and we're going to follow up with the same theme that we have used for the previous two candidates we've interviewed, and that theme is the more things change, the faster they change. And the first question we have is, in Alaska, some Native elders are saying our traditional knowledge is no longer reliable. Describe how you think this observation applies to politics in Alaska.
Well, the more things change, the more they change. You look at the elders and my wife's family's from an island north of Shishmaref, and a couple of years ago they voted to or brought on the ballot to bring alcohol because it's a dry community. 10 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. And we're seeing that an exodus of natives leaving the bush because things have changed and they can't do the things that they used to. They used to do of cost because of resources. So as we move, change, and evolve, we have to adjust to it. You can't always expect the same thing that worked 10 years ago to work now.
And how would you apply this specifically to politics, the political system in Alaska?
Well, one of the problems we have in Juneau right now is that everyone, or most, think that everything is, it's just the same. Business as usual, you don't have to change politics, do things the way it's always been done. And that's unacceptable because of our fiscal crisis, because of changes in technology, and because you can't do it the way it used to be done. It has to be done differently and done from a different perspective.
Okay, moving on to question number two. In your life to date, how have you managed adapting to change?
Well, as a soldier, a military retiree, moved around, had I think 13 different houses in 20 years in military service, so I've had to adapt to different situations. Different bosses, different locations, different situations for my family, and just do the best that I could with what I had.
Okay. Do you have some specific examples about that?
When we left Fort Wainwright in 2003, we moved to Fort Polk, Louisiana. There's a significant weather difference there, but after being on the ground for probably 6 to 8 months, I deployed. So I left my family, and my wife had some medical issues initially when we first got down there, so I had to set up. And then in Afghanistan, operating in a completely different environment with different resources, and after we came back from Afghanistan, I was still stationed at Fort Polk, but I took over a new position within the Directorate of Emergency Services, where I was working for a different boss and had a completely different mission and had to adapt to that mission, but still applying the same principles and ideals that I had used previously.
Okay, thank you. Question number three. If you consider yourself a conservative, describe the best qualities and achievements of liberals with whom you have worked, or vice versa.
Well, I do consider myself a conservative, and I am open to all ideas. However, I have non-negotiables. I've seen successes and acknowledged successes of liberals and agendas other than my own. So I don't know what you're...
So do you have some specific examples of when you've done that?
When I've acknowledged, when, you know, the voters have voted otherwise. I mean, I worked against Proposition 2, and which was basically the legalization and commercialization, not just the legalization of marijuana. I worked against that. However, it passed. So that's where a liberal agenda... I've acknowledged that it was successful. I actually fought against it, but I'm not going to continue fighting it because it's law and it's the will of the people.
Okay, thank you. Question number four. As a candidate for the state legislature, do you believe that the way the people's business is conducted needs to change? And if so, describe a specific way that change can be achieved.
The people's business does need to change down in Juneau. There needs to be more transparency. A prime example is the budget this year. I worked on a budget plan with United for Liberty to develop a sustainable budget model or plan that showed us a pathway to get down to $3.8 billion unrestricted general funds. And we went specifically and made specific cuts. And the problem is down in Juneau, they've started shifting money around and there's a lack of transparency. Transparency breeds confidence. So we need more transparency down in Juneau so the people can see exactly what's going on and not doing deals behind closed doors.
Okay. Moving on to question number five. What is your prediction about the makeup of the next legislature, and explain your reasoning and the probability that you will be right?
The makeup of the next legislature, it's there's a lot of variables. I believe that there is going to be some change, but there's not going to be enough change. The reason I say that is a lot of the legislators that made some poor decisions, whether it be supporting SB 128, et cetera, are still going to be down there. I believe that leadership is rather entrenched, and until they are removed, it's nothing's going to really change. The probability of it occurring, as I see it, is probably pretty high.
Okay. You have a number you want to put with that?
A percentage that it's not? That it's
probability, right.
Probability, I'd say about 80%.
Okay. Thank you. Number six. The discussion about the budget has taken up most of the current legislative session. If further cuts in expenditures are to be done, describe specifically what those cuts should be and also what impact the cuts will have. And if additional revenues are to be added, also specifically describe them and their impact.
Well, I do believe that before any new revenue streams in the form of taxation or changes, alterations to the calculation of the permanent funds should be done, that there need to be additional cuts, again, down to that $3.8 billion UGF. Now, specific cuts is there are full-time equivalents, basically 1,000 to 2,000 ghost employees that appear on the books but don't appear on the books. In other words, they're funded positions that are not actually filled. Money goes to the departments, but yet there's no one actually sitting in that seat, and that would save approximately $200 million. Additionally, if we reduce the Medicaid plan, premium plan from the Cadillac plan, which it is, having all options such as dental and optometry, if we would reduce that down to the basic plan, which still meets the intent of the Constitution, you would save additional $220 million. Right there in itself, that we've almost saved $500 million. Additionally, within the United for Liberty budget, I worked on corrections, and two areas that I specifically identified were education. They're basically, we are paying for inmates to become certified beauticians and barbers and receive other certifications while in prison, while incarcerated, at that same certification or qualification would cost the average citizen between $10,000 to $20,000. I believe that we need to rehabilitate them. However, I don't think that they should get a free ride. Do not punish do not reward bad behavior. Additionally, a lot of the inmates that are at Anchorage prisons in Anchorage are being taken to Alaska Regional for all their medical care, regardless if they have private insurance, whether they're native, whether they're VA or whatever, which is costing us about another $13 million. So those are just a few of the cuts that I would make specifically to the budget. And the impact, I guess, when down in Juneau, with the cuts that were being proposed, because I don't want willy-nilly cuts, I don't want across-the-board cuts, the commissioner needs to come in with an impact statement. If he says, well, I'm cutting 10% across the board, okay, what impact is that going to have on services, especially critical services? We saw last year when we got that first ice in October that Department of Transportation said that they couldn't plow the roads because of funding. It was the beginning of the fiscal year. You know, let's not play politics with people's lives.
Okay, last question, question number seven. What do you think is more important, voting based on your constituents' concerns or your own conscience? For example, if your constituents were to overwhelmingly support an income tax, but you personally oppose one, how would you vote and how would you explain your decision to your constituents?
Well, constituents, voters are going to vote for someone that has like or similar characteristics, values, traits, and ethics that they do. You use the example of an income tax, but the same thing could be said for abortion. The same thing could be said for other issues. So to me, there are some non-negotiables, which, you know, I'm pro-life, and that's a non-negotiable. If it were to come up for a pro-choice bill, I would vehemently oppose it, even if it was the will, because that's what I am. That's who I am. Those are my core values. So when it comes to an income tax, I think there'd have to be a serious conversation. I would vote my conscience because that's what they're electing me for. They're not electing me for campaign promises. They're electing me because of my history, my past, my proven conservative record, and my stance on the major issues. Now, on an income tax, there would probably be some discussion on it, but based upon all analysis from ICER and Brad Keithley and the majority of the economists within the state of Alaska, says PFD rate is the most regressive, followed by an income tax, which would only impact about 30% of Alaskans, and then the most fair and equitable across the board would be a sales tax. However, let's say a 5% sales tax applied to current borough and municipal taxes up in the bush would push some of their taxes upward of 15%. So there, you have to find some balance. There needs to be some equity.
Well, this is Mike Malevsky, and I've been talking with Steve St. Clair, whose opponents are Shelley Hughes and Adam Crum. Thank you very much, and have a good day.